God has to kind of simplify his message for us, because it's like
dogs barking at each other.
Yeah.
So it's like, that was a horrible analogy, but it actually made sense. That through scripture, we are able to know almost, know in a way, the language of God. What else? Anything? What'd you say?
The pictures that he drew.
Oh yeah, so weird. I forget what those are even for.
Oh, it's like
the bishop.
The world, and then...
Oh, the bishop, yeah. All the little bishops. That's
the
right.
The bishop with like a huge head.
It
looks like a platypus.
All right, well, as I said, St. Augustine once said that you cannot go deeper in the faith. You cannot be catechized and know the depth and theology of our church until you know the Word of God. And so sometimes I think that, like in religion classes, we'll throw at you, or in youth group and things like that, we'll throw at you all these deep theological truths that until you have studied the Word of God and lived in it and know Scripture and understand the covenants and understand the way that God has been faithful to his people, and then to know the person of Jesus Christ as made known in Scripture, until we know that, some of those truths don't make sense. And so St. Augustine said that so beautifully, and that's what we're going to be doing for this semester at TIC, is actually diving in to Scripture. In girls group, this is a shameless plug for girls group, we've been going through the book of Tobit, and it is sweet. Last week, a bird pooped in Tobit's eye, and now he is blind, so we're going to figure out what happens to Tobit, so that's the plug for that. But that has been so beautiful, and it's been really cool to see how our lives fit so beautifully, and how we can understand more about how to live faithfully for God just by even taking a look at Scripture for like 30 minutes. And so we, as the core team, have decided that we are going to go through the Gospel of John. And if you look through, a lot of scholars will say that this is the gospel that you want to give to people if you're trying to evangelize them, because it is beautiful. It is the way that it's written is like a symphony, basically. It's the words that are written, the way that it's written is beautiful to read, but also penetrates so deeply to the spirit within each of us. And so we're going to begin with that. And so tonight we're going to eventually go through John chapter 1:1-18, but I did want to give you just a little introduction of the Gospel of John, because it is different than the other three. Do you guys know what the other three are called? Yeah.
The Synoptic
Gospels, yes. And so we will look in a second about the differences between that, but I want to tell you a little story. Some of you like know that this is the case, but Paul, by the way, is my fiance. He's on the core team. We are very different, and the way that we communicate things is extremely different, and I love him so much, but I am like type A to the max, and he is like type B to the max. And right after we get engaged, we're like, oh, let's sit down and just like have a fun night of like wedding planning and just like come up with like a few ideas right to begin with. And so we both go into this night thinking that it's going to be, like, the most fun thing ever. And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, first we're going to talk about the reception, and then we're going to talk about the mass, and then we're going to talk about, like, dresses and, like, just very ordered things. And in Paul's mind, it was just like, I have all these ideas. I just want to tell you all of them tonight. And so we sit down, and he has the computer, which, first of all, is, like, hard for me because I'm such a control freak that I'm like, yeah, you can have it. It's fine. You can be in control. So he starts and he's like, oh, I found this on Tumblr, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then, okay, on Pinterest I saw this, and then like this cool thing, and my friend did this, and let's talk about the music, and now let's talk about this. And there are like 20 tabs up, and I'm like sitting there like, freaking out, because I basically could have pulled out like a binder of like my laminated things that I had like organized. I'm like, and here's a bar graph of like our wedding attendance sheet and things like that. And so sometimes like it is frustrating when people are explaining things different. And even though Paul and I were on the same page on everything, it was just the way that we were explaining it that was different. And I'm sure there's some people in here who would have loved Paul's explanation, and some of you who like love bar graphs too in here that would have been like, Megan, I'm with you. And sometimes that's really frustrating when people say things differently, but that's also sometimes just a beautiful reality. I think about, just in my own life, like, I appreciate musicians for many things, but I think that they communicate truth about life and realities that they experience in a way that I don't understand them and, like, other artists. Like, someone who will take a reality or an experience that they've had and then create a sculpture or something like that and communicate a reality, that is so beautiful to me because my mind does not think like that. So when we look at the Gospel of John, he is very different in the way that he approaches this explanation of the life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. But it isn't contradictory. Like, Paul and I were saying the same thing, just in different ways, and like, diving into different realities of how we wanted our wedding and reception to be. He focuses on different things. And so, he covers almost entirely, like, the same, it's the same ground, but an almost entirely different approach. We see that there's no tension or contradiction in what John does, but that it is profoundly complementary. And is this bad? No, it's beautiful, like I said. I was thinking about, like, if you put four people up on trial to talk about Jesus Christ, like, Matthew, if he got up, he would say one certain thing. He would probably be pretty wordy. And then Mark would say, have, like, a quick description of what Jesus was all about. And then Luke would have a different description. And then John would have a different way of explaining it. And I think when we look at all of those things and you look at the different ways that people are explaining things, the first thing that would come to our mind is, like, these are all kind of different accounts. So can we trust that? Like, if they all are kind of, like, portraying a different thing, can we trust all that Jesus Christ is the one that they're talking about? I think that's the first question. But then we have to think that if they all said exactly the same thing, like, verbatim, if I asked a question, what did he do in Capernaum? And they all said the same sentences over and over, you would not trust that. We would not think that that was accurate. We would think it was some kind of conspiracy. But it is when we see the differences in all of the Gospels that you see the different ways that Jesus encountered humanity. And it's all, you can tell the string of similarities in the way that they all present this one Savior to us, but the differences are so beautiful. But like I said, John is way different. And so, I have a question for you. We're going to make a little list. Are you ready for a little list? Not a bar graph, but a list. I want you to just go and name all of the miracles that you know that Jesus did. Just go. Shout them out.
Wedding at Cana.
Okay.
Water to wine.
Okay. Wedding at Cana, same thing. Okay.
Walking on water.
Okay.
Baptism of the Lord.
Feeding 5,000. Healing of a blind man.
Curing Lazarus.
Curing Lazarus.
That girl was possessed.
The 10 lepers.
10 lepers.
The girl with the ocelot spirit or something.
The what?
With the, like, prophecy spirit that was, like, false, like.
Oh, the, okay. Girl with spirit. Okay.
Curing the centurion's daughter.
Okay. Good job.
The lame guy.
I did not realize that. Oh my gosh.
The guy, like, at the pool and, like, had a mat.
Yep. Yeah. Lame guy. What else? You can think even more, like, broad. What did you?
Peter's mom.
Yep. Love that.
Resurrection.
Oh. Wow.
Everyone's like, wow.
Religion. The Ascension.
Yes. Yeah, okay. I'm okay with that. All right. Think of things. What did Jesus cure people of?
Leprosy.
All right, leprosy. What else?
Blindness.
Death.
Death.
He cured death itself.
Deafness.
Demons.
Demons.
Cripple.
The
woman who had, like, blood running out of
her. Yep, hemorrhages.
I
love the woman with hemorrhages. I don't know if that's spelled that right. What else? Keep going.
Raising
Yep, raising the dead.
Raising
think of people that Jesus converted just by his words?
Gentiles.
Gentiles? Specific people.
Samaritans. No.
Jews, Samaritans? Who?
The centurion that cured, he cured his daughter.
Okay, centurion.
Cornelius.
Cornelius.
The
okay.
centurion at the cross or whatever, the soldier at the cross.
Yeah, what was that guy's name? Oh my gosh.
That
Mary Magdalene, yes. Who else? Yeah.
Paul. Paul.
We'll go Saul. All right, Matthew.
He was in the womb, Elizabeth.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, how about John leaping in Elizabeth's womb? I'd say that's a miracle. All right, what else?
Joseph of Arimathea.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
We're just going to do that.
Oh, the guy on the cross was like, today in paradise.
True that. Guy. Oh, thief. Thief on cross. Anyone else?
The Samaritan woman. At the, maybe
yep.
we got that.
Zechariah. Isn't that his name?
Yep. Okay, that's a good list. Okay. Of these. Wait for it. Hey, guys. Welcome.
Hi.
Our little actors.
What up, Maria?
What's
up, guys?
I'm
a scripter. Okay, of these, all of these miracles, and if you think of all the people that were had demons, it's not just like one. There's all these exorcisms that happen. There's all these blind men that are healed. There's all these deaf people. We hear about accounts of thousands and thousands of people that would come and follow Jesus, and they would raise, he would work all of these miracles. And in John, only 6 miracles are mentioned. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, it is an emphasis on the miracle, the miraculous nature of Jesus. But John takes a way different approach, and that's very significant. Even in his Gospels, it's divided into 2 books. So the beginning that we talk about is the book of signs, and that is John describes miracles as signs instead of miracles. So all of these things, this would be called the sign at the wedding of Cana, the sign of the feeding of the 5,000, and that is signs that point to something else. So the book of signs and then the book of glory. And this is very important that it is called signs instead of miracles. If you think about a sign, okay, so let's say I have to go to West Virginia tomorrow. So I am driving to Moundsville, West Virginia, and I see the sign. I'm driving on 70 West, and I see the sign for Moundsville. And I like just pull up to the sign and just stop, and I'm like, I'm here, you guys. I'm here in Moundsville. This is the best place ever. Do you see the sign? It is so awesome. Like, it's so green. It's the lettering is so white, and it's like there's snow all over it, but it's the sign, you guys. Let's freak out over this. That would be insane, and I'd be like hospitalized probably. But this sign, if I follow that and it points like to the right or to the left, it points to the city of Moundsville, the destination to which I need to go. And these signs, these miracles of Jesus, are not to be experienced for just what they are, just that particular moment, just that particular miracle, that sign that he provides, but they are to direct us to something more. And we see that John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was trying to show us something very specific with that, is that the people of that time were obsessed with miracles. They would have been obsessed, they would have followed Jesus because they saw that he healed someone of their blindness, and they would want to see another miracle. They'd be freaking out about these things that were just mere, like, moments. But what John says is, I'm not going to focus on those, because my gospel is going to point you to something more. The signs are to direct you to heaven, which is a huge and beautiful theme John's gospel. this gospel takes us from just knowing Jesus as a miracle worker to knowing God more deeply. And that this is a lesson that has to be learned by each of us. Sometimes I think that we live just like the people of Jesus' time, as people who are obsessed with miracles, and we don't see that we are being led to something more. Like if you think of when somebody is like miraculously healed from something, like we've had people in our parish who have had stage 4 cancer and they're like, you have 3 weeks to live, and then they're still living here. Is sometimes we're like, do you remember that? Do you remember that miracle? But it fades after that. And instead of pointing to something that is deep within that miracle as like the power of God who can do that miracle, but also convert my heart every day, and also raise me from the dead if I say yes to his will, that these things on earth, these things, these moments in which there are miraculous things that happen within us are pointing to something more. When we go on retreats and we obsess over retreat highs, that is, a miracle takes place at retreat sometimes, but we cannot focus on what just happened there and let our faith rest on what just happened there. But we have to say, what did you want me to learn from that? What are you pointing me to that is pointing me to heaven? And so the Gospel of John teaches us to do that, shows that our hearts desire mystery, desire to know the depth of God. When we think about what people quote, like the most quotable scripture passages or gospel passages, people aren't like, yeah, and in Mark 10:8, I'm just making this up, I have no idea what Mark 10:8 says. Actually, I think it's the rich young man, so something like that. But let's say the woman with hemorrhages, they're not like quoting like, and then her blood dried up. Isn't that inspirational? That's like really gross, actually. Like, we aren't quoting specific passages or verses in which the miracles happen, but we are quoting things from John, like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life, pointing to us to eternal life. Or the word became flesh and dwelt among us, pointing us to the reality that God became man to make us eternal beings with him, essentially. And we think of things like John 10:10, I came that they might have life and life to the full. Or in John chapter 14, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to which you are going. I am the sign. And so these most quotable gospel passages come not from the miracles, but from when we penetrate deeper into the miracles, to the mystery of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, we're going to do it a little bit different. Usually we have small group discussion, but what we're going to do is I'm going to ask that you kind of divide out in this room and kind of like sit in like pods. So we'll get like, if you get like 5 people in a group, 5 or 6 people, and just kind of circle up, because we're going to have discussion and then share. Does that make sense? So get in a little circle, move your body so you can have a discussion.
My children gather around me. I want to hear if you're not.
I was like, yeah, actually.